Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay, we're recording. We're live. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. After my little appearance on Red Scar Podcast, I did get some new subscribers. However, I would say 98% of them are on the free feed, which is not non-existent, but it's not totally existent. Please welcome. This episode will be for all members, just to kind of welcome you in. Hopefully you like feel the waters warm and you'll upgrade or not. You know, it's your life to live. I'm not going to pressure you. No one's putting a gun to your head. Then it got me thinking, like, is the Patreon free model thing working? I do get a lot of free subscribers, but I don't know if it really amounts to paid. That could be a failure on my part. Maybe the product isn't good. I just celebrated 5 years. I think it's okay. I think it's like kind of tried, tested, and true. Anyways, thank you for tuning in. A few episodes ago, someone accused me of doing drop shipping on my web store. And I was like, bitch, I'm not drop shipping. And then I did Google what drop shipping is, and it turns out I am, in fact, I'm drop shipping.
Act the fool, girl. I'm here. Act the fool.
Okay, I thought drop shipping was like when you order stuff from Alibaba and then just sell it on your website, a la Whitney Rose, a la HRH Collection. I'm not really doing that at all. It's just like a fulfillment, like a trusted fulfillment service is doing it for me. And no one's buying shit anyway, so like, it's fine. Anyways, I just thought I'd keep you abreast. I am a dropshipper, so I'm adding that to my, little resume. Okay, moving on. We have a great episode tonight. I mean, there's a lot of minutiae. The minutia is almost smothering, quite frankly. I have a lot of TV stuff to talk about and a lot of questions. So we're going to do minutia first. Walk into the room, minutia first. Okay. This will be quick, but I did have a dream this morning. I don't talk about dreams, and I'll keep it quick. But just in case this becomes a premonition, I want to have it recorded on the pod so I can like reference it in the future. I had a dream that I went to a frat house, and I saw Lana Del Rey perform, and she was wearing this like gorgeous bejeweled marching band outfit with like a chandelier on her head, but like her head was in the chandelier. So if we if in a few months, years, even down the road, that occurs, you're gonna go back to this episode and be like, hey, wait a minute, that sounds a little familiar. Anyways, boy. Okay. We're really starting off with a bang here. Had an interesting day. Well, I woke up, you know, after my vivid dream, and there was so much television to watch. New Drag Race, which I enjoyed. Nicole Paige Brooks is back. I love a cross-dressing queen more than anything. She's old, too. She was telling Lydia Butthole Collins, she's like, I started doing drag in 1995. And then Lydia was like, I was born in 2001. And guys, buckle up, because we will be talking about 9/11 a lot this episode, because the Osama bin Laden doc, whew, it's good. It's good. So then in the like, when I fired up Drag Race, there was like a little commercial for like Showtime, or Paramount Plus, whatever the fuck. And there's an entire new season of Couples Therapy, which is one of my favorite shows of all time. There's fully an entire new season, 10 episodes. I think I watched 3. I would have watched more, except I bought tickets for me and my friend to go see the movie Friendship, at 3:30. And I was like, I live in Greenpoint. I drove to Williamsburg, which I could walk. However, it looked like rain, and there was rain after the movie. It was not on the radar on the you know, Apple weather map, and everyone got dumped on. I was like in my car, like, I fucking knew it. I knew it. I look at the sky and I'm like, it's gonna rain again. Anyways, okay, going back. Couples therapy is kind of absolutely Poppington again, like it always is. I feel like I learned so much from this show. I don't need to go to therapy because I watch people go to therapy. If you can just watch people go to therapy, you can see what they're talking about. And then Orna, God bless her heart, cuts through all the noise because she's a trained professional. And yeah, I know therapists are all trained, but like, she seems a better than... When people talk about their therapists, I don't get Orna vibes. I don't get Miss Ornacia vibes from their therapist. Their therapist is always like letting them talk about their boring ass bullshit, like what I would talk about on this podcast. Their therapist just lets them talk about it. And I'm like, don't you want to like kind of get down to like brass tacks and like get the fuck over it so you don't have to go to therapy anymore? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Maybe some people like therapy. Maybe, you know, some people do just need to talk for like an hour a week, and I've just decided to make money off of it instead of pay for it. And, you know, sometimes I do get feedback that it's kind of skewering. Every time I go on Red Scare, I try not to look, but I glance at the comments. You know, fat, annoying, horrible voice, dumb, idiot. Dinosaurs walked the earth. Like, okay, girl, please stop. Like, no, they didn't. et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on and on and on. But I'll report back more on couples therapy once I finish up this season, which I'm going to finish it tomorrow. I do have work to do tomorrow. Okay, so I got a focus group. I locked on a focus group. $400, okay? Okay, but it's like there's an in-person portion next week, but like the written part is so fucking annoying. I have to like, I answered so many questions. It's about like rank, like it's about like flavored alcoholic beverages, like, you know, seltzers, etc. And then the next portion, I'd like go to my deli next door and like take pictures of like the fucking like refrigerator section and then answer even more. I'm like, can't you just look at the photos and like, they're like, tell us about like what you see in the, you know, spiked seltzer section. I'm like, just look at the fucking picture, bitch. And they're like texting me and calling me like, I'm not answering these phone calls or texts. They're like, we've noticed you've started the section. Please can, you know, I have like 5 days to finish this shit. They're calling me on a Friday morning. These people are insane. But $400 is $400 because I'm just still living, you know. Ah, the ghetto. God, I love those two sound. They're new soundboard additions. If you're new, they're also new. You know, I just paid a bit of money for a birthday dinner. One of my dear, dear friends, Landon, turned 29, went to D&D, Vietnamese restaurant. I gotta say, I do feel guilty eating Vietnamese food because my father fought in the Vietnam War and killed like Vietnamese people. I know, it's so, oh boy. Oh, shit. Anyways, the food was delightful. When you have 8 people, you can only get a prefix menu. Then my friend added more courses. We each had 2 drinks, probably. I had 3. Raise your hand if you were surprised. I clocked the bill coming and I saw a comma in it, meaning it was 4 figures. And I was like,
yes, they deserve to die. And I hope they burn in hell.
Anyways, yeah. So I paid my portion. It was fine. Lots of they really like cilantro in Vietnam. Mike, they gotta like get something else. I mean, it was crazy. I do have that fake made up cilantro thing. But I was picking around. I picked it up, you know. I picked apart every dish. All like eight of them.
It was due to feces thrown all over the walls, the floor, the ceiling, and it stunk so bad.
Anyways, I updated you guys recently that there's a mourning dove has laid a new egg on my windowsill in the nest that Diane left about a year ago. And the egg has just been sitting there, and no one's come to incubate it. It's, you know, it's not looking good. I mean, what's going to happen? It's just going to, like, rot? Maybe a raccoon will get its hands on it. I don't know. I would like to know, but I'm not setting up like a trail cam or anything like that. But I'll keep you posted. I mean, speaking of birds, a listener did tell me that the sound I played last episode that I thought was wolves or coyotes was a barred owl. Barred, B-A-R-R-E-D, not barn owl. Giving Zanny barred out, and I'm gonna play it again. I googled like, what does a barred owl sound like, and it's exactly this. So thank you, listener. Okay, so it's just rare that I've seen like one owl in my life, and that was like 2 years ago. I didn't know I'd be in the presence of like three kind of triangulating and communicating with each other. I just didn't have that on my 2020 bingo card, quite frankly. So, yeah, well, that's it. This next one, kind of big for me. It involves shipping and handling. It involves buying new shoes. So you're gonna like absolutely buckle up. Okay, how do I even begin? Well, as you may know, if you live on the same planet I do, it is spring. Spring has sprung. And it's time for new footwear for me because my New Balance sneakers I've had them for like 3 years. They're expensive to replace, and I kind of, as much as I don't mind slipping on a pair of sneakers, I just kind of, like, don't love it. I don't like sneakers. It's fine if you love sneakers. I love sneakers for other people. I just need, here's the thing, I'm so morbidly depressed that it's impossible to do anything. And if I wear sneakers, I find that akin to wearing, like, sweatpants. Anything comfortable will not get me out the door. And when I'm out the door, I will just deflate if I'm too cozy. So not that I dress like a rabid wasp or anything, but like sometimes a collared shirt will just make me feel a little like I have to function in society a little more. And yeah, maybe it's wrinkled, you know, whatever. Maybe it smells bad. I don't know. Sneakers, it's just, it's fun on the weekends if you're going to run errands. Weekday, I'm like, you gotta put some shoes on. Like, you know, this sounds so fucking stupid. Like, I know how dumb this sounds. I don't care about what you do at all. I'm not thinking about what you're wearing. No one's thinking about what anyone's wearing. Well, we are. Secretly, we're all talking about it. But for me, I gotta put that thing on. I just have to, like, turn my swag on a little bit and be, I wouldn't even say presentable. Uncomfortable. Like, I just have to be a little uncomfortable. If I'm too comfortable, I will melt into a puddle on the floor like Alex Mack. A lot of you are too young to get that reference. It's a show from 1993, probably, on Nickelodeon that ran for probably 6 episodes. Okay, so anyways, I needed a new pair of spring, summer shoes. I wanted to do something a little different. So ventilation was initially very important for me. I was like, I gotta have something that lets the dogs breathe. Because my dogs do be barking. I'm not going to get into graphic detail. They do be barking. So I found a pair of Keen sandals with a sling back. Keen is K-E-E-N. They make a pair of sandals. Well, they made a pair of slides in the past. They're like ropey, stretchy. They're very cute. I mean, you guys have permission to get them because I did end up returning them, but not for reasons you'd think. Okay. They're called Keen. It's the brand. But the shoe is called Unique. U, which is Keen spelled backwards, but it's U. U-N-E-E-K.
B-I-C-T-H.
I know you were waiting for that one. I got it in a olive and black combo, which truly looked good. I got them in a size 11. I read a ton of reviews and everyone said the size is great. Size is perfect. I went through like 6 pages of reviews. Okay. I get them in the mail. I take them out of the box and they look like a pair of like children's shoes. Like they're so small. And I'm like, wait, did I order like a women's? I'm like, okay. Then I look at the box, it says men's 11. I'm like, what? I'm wearing a pair of like thin, normal, like Uniqlo socks. I try to put them on. I loosen up all the laces and I can't even get my foot into it at all. And I'm like, this is fucking wild. Like sometimes you can put a shoe on, it's a size off, but you can get the foot in. It's just a little snug. This was like foot not even going in whatsoever. And I'm like, wait, this is fucking wild. So I like grab all like a bunch of other similar style shoes. I have like a pair of sandals, you know, slides and stuff, and I like put the heel to the heel and like try to line up, see like what the difference between like the length is overall, like where the toes should meet up. And this shoe was, I'm not even exaggerating, like an inch shorter at least than every other shoe I had. I'm like, how is this the same size? Also, how are there so many like verified reviews saying that like this is the same size that you should like order the size you ordered every other fucking shoe? And then I like dig, I'm like, okay, I gotta go online. I gotta like look at the website again. Then I go like 15 pages back in the reviews and it's like, actually you should order like a full size larger. I don't even think that would be enough. I think it's like truly like 2 full sizes bigger to be somewhat comfortable. I couldn't fit the fucking foot in. And I was like, this is fucking bullshit. I'm like, this is just what I needed. So, and I don't like to return. But it actually was easier than I thought. And it's easier because I have like shipping bags for merchandise, like hoodies and bigger stuff. So I just like put the box back in. And also I own a shipping label printer. So I could just drop it off at this like weird deli down the block called Buckley's. I should not be telling you guys that. It's fine. I think you're all, no one's going to like gun me down. Unless that do be happening this week. We're not talking about that today. But I just kind of dropped it off. And the guy was like, put on that shelf over there. I'm like, say no more. I'm in and out. And they refunded me today. So it was actually a really smooth experience. I guess people like return shit all the time. People buy shit online knowing they might return it. For me, it's like, it's gotta be in the bag. It's gotta be a slam dunk. It's gotta be like, there's no returning. There's no exchanging, nothing. It's like, I'm a fatalist. I will get what I get and I will like it. But I really couldn't even barefoot. I was like, this isn't even gonna work whatsoever. And also, again, the dogs do be barking. I'm like, can I even wear these to work? I just can't do it. Anyways, oh my God, okay. So I return them. My sweet mother texts me. She's like, I've got some bean bucks. I'm like, what? She's like, LL Bean bucks, $23. I'm like, okay, wait. I was like, let me get online again. Let me hop on the computer, see what LL Bean has to offer. Cause like I had been also looking for like leather moccasins, not boat shoes. Like boat shoes have a specific, sole. Like it's so you can wear them on a boat and it doesn't like scuff the boat. I don't need that. I need something actually, I need a little height. I know I'm 6'2", however, I'm a little wide, as people on Reddit like to tell me. And so I'm like, I need something. And also I'm like walking around on concrete. I'm not like tiptoeing on a little boat. You know what I mean? Anywho, so I find the like men's leather moccasin, whatever. And I'm like, I've never had a pair of slip-on shoes, in this style. I think my brother gave me a pair of boat shoes when I was in college and like I wore them, but like I was more, you know, exclusively Doc Martin and like, I'm like, I'm not wearing Sperry's. Even still, I'm kind of like, I don't know. Maybe if I'm at the lake only, but mincing on Greenpoint, I'm like, I need like a little rugged, little ruggedness, not the, I can't, because I wear like a Ralph Lauren shirt. I can't wear a topsider with that. It's too preppy for me. I'm just not comfortable with that level of preppiness. Anywho, got them in the mail yesterday. Slipped them on. Fit perfectly. They look gorgeous. The leather looks so nice. They're made so well. They were less than the Keen, like, whatever weird rubber loop-de-loo thing. I mean, maybe after I get my focus group money, I may get the unique. They're really cool. They're cool looking. I don't know if you've seen them before. You've probably seen the slides, but not the slingback. Not the slingback. Anyways, I'm very happy with the LL Bean moccasin. It's like the mock. There's a more expensive one at the left. It doesn't have like the, it doesn't have the three hole thing to tie. It's like one, it looks like a classic moccasin, but it's got like a rugged, sole with grippy stuff. And, anyways, I'm going on and on, but like, I really like these shoes and they're so classic. And I'm like, I never see people wearing them. Which is good. Kind of. I don't know. Everyone went to sneakers. I'm like, these are kind of as comfortable as sneakers. Just feel like leather kind of gives you a little bit of a back to earth. I'm an earth child. Like Kristen Doty and I are both children of the earth. Sneakers don't make me feel connected to the ground or the Native Americans, quite frankly. New Balance made in America, but I'm not feeling connected to the ancient lore of this great land. So, am I saying that the LL Bean moccasins make me connected to the Native American people of this great, beautiful nation? Kinda. Is that completely delusional and sad? Yeah. But, like, you know, I can't make the rules, like, in matters of the heart and soul. I don't know. They got me. They got me. And leather breathes too. I wonder, like, I mean, clearly getting airflow on a strappy sandal, but if the sandal is made of like rubber and like fucking old tires and shit, is that going to heat you up? Heat the feet up? I don't know. Well, I would say sound off in the comments, but there's like no way to know this. Unfortunately, there's no way to know. But I also forgot that I have a pair of Chaco sandals that were just like underneath a bunch of shit. And I'm like, oh, I have sandals. So I don't need them. So yeah, no, I'm not getting them. So whatever, it's fine. It's all good. Everything worked out the way it's supposed to be. And we're going to keep it moving. Okay, so I was on Twitter a couple days ago. Friend of the pod, Glenn, posted some photos of me, him, and Paris Hines, and from Dasha's wedding, like the disposable camera photos got developed, etc. And it was captioned something like bald guys, because me, Paris, and Glenn are bald. And a Twitter faggot who I know from the neighborhood, don't know if he remembers me from hooking up with me a few years ago, because he was quite, I mean, we were both inebriated, but then I realized, like, oh, and he, like, kind of just left my apartment, and I'm like, okay, good, like, whatever, I don't know what this was, but it wasn't even really my idea. Okay, anyways, I'm not gonna name the handle, but he commented, I would ride two out of the three of you. Again, it's me, Paris, and Glenn, and I'm like, okay. Paris is straight. Glenn is gay. I'm gay. I had no choice but to think that he was shading me. Could be wrong. It's either me or Paris. We're both, I would say, pretty handsome men. And I'm like, why would you fucking say that? Like, what is the point of saying that? Especially because, okay, I think he's genuinely forgotten that we've hooked up before. I gave him a blowjob to complete, and then he left my house. And I'm like, when I was like, hey, do you want to, like, kind of return the favor? He's like, oh my God, I gotta go. And I'm like, okay, fuck you. Kind of a classic situation. Just wanted to put that out there. Sound off in the comments if you maybe have some insight into this. Anyway, speaking of gay guys, Alexander Skarsgård is really rubbing in our faces these days. Listeners of the pod will know that a few months ago, I dropped some alleged tea that he's legally married to Jack Breyer. Kenneth from 30 Rock. I don't know if it's a joke or not, but then the more I thought about it, he looks like Alexander Skarsgård looks like actually gay. Like, he just has little kind of mannerisms. I'm like, oh, he's gay. And now that I thought he's gay, I'm like, he's less hot, like much less attractive. I'm like, wait, why would I think he was so hot in the first? He's like, he's a little not disformed. There's like something. I'm like, maybe he's not. He's just tall. He's hot, but, like, I don't know. He's wearing, like, thigh-high boots, short shorts, tiny little t-shirts. The list goes on and on. He's just taunting us. Friend of the pod, Heather Juju, was texting. She was like, it's like when we told everyone he was gay, then he just started acting like it. Like, it's... You're so right, girlfriend. That's, like, exactly the timeline of when this started happening. I was like, hey, guys, like, don't tell anyone, but, like, he's legally gay. Then he just started, I don't know what he's promoting. I don't think it's just Cannes Film Festival. He's, like, dipping and doing it. I don't know if he's on, like, the Ellen Show. No, the Ellen Show's not even, it's just, I've seen photos. It seems like he's on some sort of daytime shit. Fagging out completely. I just thought it was interesting. I don't know. Again, sound off in the comments. I don't know what you could say. He's gay. He is gay. Well, speaking of gay guys, I was listening to Tim Dillon's podcast yesterday on my way home from work, and this is neither here nor there, but he was talking about, like, drug use, people that are addicts, and I was just, like, thinking about the guy in my neighborhood that bothers me the most out of anyone, and he's never explicitly looked like he was on drugs or act like it. He's pretty composed, but, like, functioning, and always outside my apartment being like, hey, excuse me. I'm like, hey, this is our fifth time today. Yeah, I don't have any money. Like, fuck off. And can you get away from my front door? Can you get away from the front door? How am I supposed to live like this? Anyways, I've always wondered. I'm like, I wasn't born yesterday. I'm like, he must be doing drugs. I'm like, I didn't seem like as demented and deranged as my other neighbor, Charlie. Again, the guy who huffs Freon out of air conditioners in front of children and buys meth almost three times a day that I witnessed. Okay. Anyways. I know the cars. There's an Audi A8. There's a Chevy Traverse. And there's like one other. I can't. Oh, there's a BMW 7 Series too. Okay. Kind of classic drug dealer cars. Okay. Anyways. So, I get home from work. I park the car. I go get a sandwich. On my way home from getting a sandwich, which is a half a block away, I see my annoying neighbor. I don't know his name. He comes out of Charlie's crack house and almost bumps into me. I'm just like, excuse me. He's like, hey, excuse me. Do you have any? I'm like, no. He's like, how do you know I was going to ask? I'm like, are you fucking nuts? Like, he asks me this shit every day. Like, godforsaken life. So now he's kind of Charlie's house. I know he's doing drugs. And I don't know if I feel good or bad about that, but I have a little bit of closure. I'm like, okay. Because, like, before, I've given him, like, a couple dollars once and, like, a cigarette. And then I was like, okay, now I've that's too much. I don't want to sound cruel or crass, but, like, this is how addicts function. They go where the water's warm. And if you give them shit, and I've seen him, like, get, like, $5 from, like, a young woman and, like, poo-poo it and, like, ask for more. And she's like, I don't know, like, maybe I could. And I'm like, fuck you, dude. I want to, like, literally drop kick him when I see that shit happening. Like, it's so, he needs help. He's not going to get it from either me or anyone passing by on the street. Unfortunately, it's just the hard truth. Anyways, now that I know that he's absolutely paling around with, like, the worst crowd you could ever imagine. Oh, and then the girl that does somersaults at McDonald's nude is back, too. The weather's warm again. She's back. So I've got, oh, my God. Anyways, I got my answer. Got my answer.
Whoa, she's furious.
I actually am kind of furious about this one. It's like, really, I live in a quiet-ish part of town, so, like, you notice everything. You can't, like, be that anonymous. So every time I leave my front door, I'm like, I'm gonna run into him. And sure enough, I'm more than half the time I do. And as a cigarette smoker, it's way more often than I would if I was just inside, you know, making dinner or, you know, watching Criminal Minds with my hubby. Sounds nice, but I'd get bored. Okay. Couple more things. We get to TV Corner really quick. I think I've mentioned this before, but I'm really still noticing that now more than ever, most dogs don't lift their leg to piss anymore. They just kind of all lean forward and, like, squat and then, like, piss like that. And I'm like, why is that happening? Like, why is that? And they're not, like, old. I think, like, oh, maybe it's like an old dog thing. Maybe I just can't tell when a dog is really old. It's weird. They should be only pissing on fire hydrants with one leg up, and they should be chasing the mailman. Not so much these days. Not so much these days. One quick thing, the Mexican Navy ship that crashed into the Brooklyn Bridge, what the fuck was that about? I don't get it, because, like, also, rest in peace, two people died. Very sad. It just, so the ship apparently left the dock, kind of immediately lost engine power, and then, like, floated backwards down, like, the part of the ship that went towards the bridge was, like, the back of the ship. So, and there were people, like, standing on the mast doing this, like, whole sort of, like, song and dance thing. And I was like, no one told them that, like, they're going the wrong direction and it might hit a bridge. And, like, I don't know. It just, it's sad and very unfortunate. It just seems like it should have been avoidable, and I feel bad. Feel bad. That's all. Feel bad. Oh, man. Okay, it's TV Corner. And I'm excited about it, but the first topic, it's a little... Speaking of things crashing into other things, we're going to talk about the Osama bin Laden documentary on Netflix. Three-part miniseries. I think it's good. I think you should watch it. Kim Kardashian posted it today. She said, really good doc at Netflix. Okay, Kim. Yeah, go off, Kim. I fired up when I was very hungover. And 9/11 footage fucks me up on a molecular level, okay? I don't use the word shaking hyperbolically. It starts off and it shows like a very vivid graphic scene of the first plane hitting the tower from like down below or from a rooftop or something. And I put my head in my hands and I was whole body shaking, hands quivering, shaking. And I was just like sobbing, It destroys me. I'm still living as if like it's happening right now. Like the smoke is still in the street. I have never forgotten 9/11 ever. I can't forget 9/11. I mean, I just can't. Not because of the slogan. It's just like the craziest and like worst thing that's happened in human history. Sorry. I know there's been like genocides, exterminate, like there's been horrible wars and things, but like crashing two planes into the World Trade Centers in downtown New York City, that's the worst thing that has ever happened in the entire course of, it's the craziest thing that's ever happened. It's the craziest thing. I mean, I think war is crazy too. However, it's kind of been a part of our fabric for centuries, and I don't like that at all. I'm very anti-war. But it's kind of, we've Stockholm syndromed ourselves. It's just we can accept it. I can't accept two planes flying into two skyscrapers in the greatest city in the world, in the greatest country in the world. And oh my God. So like the CIA guy, the dossier guy, he's like, he was, you know, he works with like presidents and he debriefs the presidents every morning. So he's working with George W. Bush on the morning of September 11th. He's in the documentary. And hearing him tell, he's got it whispered in George Bush's ear at that Florida elementary school classroom. He's like, I think he goes up to him once. He's like, a plane has just hit the World Trade Center. And George Bush is like, oh shit. Okay. That's a little out there. Fuck. Also the news is reporting it was like a small, like water plane kind of thing. It was like a freak accident. So, and then the second time hearing him retell this also gave me, it's bone chilling. He's like, a second plane has hit the towers. America is under attack. I had to whisper cause I was like going to start crying. Okay. America is under attack. Those words are that America should never be under attack. We were under attack. We're literally under attack. And like, thank God that plane crashed in Pennsylvania. Cause like it was going for like the White House. I mean, one hit the Pentagon. I mean, like allegedly the Pentagon's weird, but I don't think 9/11 was an inside job. I think it's like fully just, oh God. Sound off in the comments. I've been told I need to watch the, it's a 5-hour YouTube documentary called The New Pearl Harbor. It's about 9/11. Best friend of the pod, Rachel, suggested. We're very in sync with things. So I'll watch that this week and kind of get back to you about that. And yeah, is this probably like pro-America propaganda on Netflix? Yeah. But it also like, you don't need to like pathologize. Like this crazy shit happened and we went to war for too long. I'll get into it. Okay. I'm getting more furious as this episode progresses. Anyways, Osama bin Laden, like, did actually hate our freedom. Like, the values of, like, Afghanistan and America are, like, our God is money, basically. We were, like, a Christian nation, but, like, our God is ultimately money. And since 1998, when Al-Qaeda was formed, Osama bin Laden had blown up. I mean, like, I didn't know the amount of terrorist attacks he had committed for, like, 20 years or 15 years before 2001. Because his whole thing was, like, he hated that there were American military bases in, like, all these countries. Which, like, I can kind of get, but I'm like, I'm sorry, you don't, like, a security guard in, like, your shitty fucking country. God forbid. You know? And, like, Osama bin Laden's parents were, like, billionaires. Like, what was his fucking problem? Blew up so much shit. Mostly targeting Americans in other countries, but, like, American soldiers. I don't know how many civilians died in these attacks. I didn't really take extensive notes, but he was popping off. I mean, like, they do, like, it was 40 different, like, they put these little, like, red little map, like, pinpoints on all of the map, and it's like, holy shit, like, Al-Qaeda was popping 10 for so many years. I'm like, how? Now I'm getting kind of mad at the government, American government. Like, how did you not stop him before this? How did you not stop him before this? One of the guys on, you know, the flight that flew into the Twin Towers was, like, on the list of, like, one of the most dangerous people in the world. He still got on the plane. That's, this, you know, security was a little more lax back then. 9/11 changed everything. Some of you weren't even born yet. If you're, you know, Lydia Butthole Collins listening to this episode, you're like, I don't remember 9/11. And maybe I'm just jealous because, like, I would love to forget or not care. But seemingly it's all I care about is 9/11. Can you, I mean, imagine if you're at fucking Clando and you, the Freedom Tower collapses. Can you imagine the horror? Okay. I'm sure you can. Sorry. I'm just, you know, I had 3 drinks at dinner and 2 drinks before that. And a hard kombucha right now. So we're at 6. But that's like, that's not that bad. It's not that bad. I didn't know that the KSM, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, was a really bad guy too. He was kind of the mastermind working with Osama bin Laden. He was captured. You might recognize the photo. He's wearing like a white t-shirt with a really wide collar. And he's got like back and shoulder hair popping out. Kind of looks like he looks like a fat Saddam Hussein. Because that photo, I'm like, did Saddam Hussein like gain a bunch of weight? It's not him. It's Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. He's a very bad guy. Very bad guy. The doc talks about Guantanamo Bay and how bad it was. And I'm like, what if it wasn't that bad? Like, I mean, we had to get the answers. I mean, maybe there were too many people captive that shouldn't have been there. The war on terror started off as, I think, a good idea. Again, I'm anti-war, but not this one. I don't think it needed to last 20 years of going to Iraq, which had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda. The weapons of mass destruction, of course, were proven to not exist, and I think like a million civilians died. Ugh, it's terrible. No, it's terrible. But that's not, if they would have just like kept it a little tighter, focused on just Al-Qaeda and not use it to like expand. I don't know what the motives were, guys. The world is so evil. I don't get it. I don't know. It's bad. I have a hard time accepting how evil the world is, but it seems like it wasn't. And then people think, oh, the U.S. government like planned this so they can go to war and like make some money with the oil barons in the Middle East. I'm like, I feel like there's like other ways to do that. Like, there's gotta be other, like, just destroy the oil fields in, like, Texas or something. So then we have to, I don't know. Sound off in the comments. Let me know. I don't know. God almighty. I mean, Guantanamo was bad, but I'm like, we had to have something. The pictures, they're bad. They're really bad. No, it's bad. But those were potentially bad people. You have to understand. I mean, maybe some of them weren't, that's the thing. But, like, if they were bad people that planned to do 9/11, personally, in that specific instance, I could look away. There's innocent people being tortured, of course. Man, I don't want to look away. Depends on the ratio. I think if it's like 80-20, 20% innocent, 80% guilty, we're fine. Once we get to like 60-40, 50-50, uh-oh. And then over that, it's like, uh-oh, we gotta shut Guantanamo down. Gotta shut it down. Okay. Then it goes into the London 2005 terror attacks, which I was involved in. Uh-oh, record scratch. You might be thinking, how did we get here? So in 2005, I'd gone on the, like, high school class trip to Europe. London, Paris, Lucerne, Switzerland, Munich, Germany. I know it sounds very glamorous. I think it was like $2,000, which is a lot of money at the time, but trip of a lifetime. I've never been overseas again. My family probably knew, like, yeah, it's probably it for him. So, and I feel like my aunt probably paid for it. Okay, anyways, while I was in London, that was the last stop before heading back to New York City. Flying from London to JFK, Heathrow, I believe, and this fucking bitch. So we're all seated together, me and, like, my classmates. My seat was broken, so it was, like, in the recline position, and I couldn't put it up, and this woman behind me complained. She's like, I can't deal with this. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm literally a child. The seat's broken. And so I had to get moved to an entire different section of the plane away from all my friends and, like, chaperones, etc. And, you know, I'm like, this sucks. Like, I can't talk to anyone. You know, I'm like 15 or 16 years old. I want to, like, chit chat on the plane, you know? Hadn't been on a plane like once before that. So it was exciting. This was the era when, like, people, I mean, this was 2005. There weren't really smartphones. People had, like, computers and, like, cell phones. Anyway, so once we get back into, like, airspace, when people could, like, start getting phone calls again, like, kind of once we, I guess, started descending into New York City, I was sitting next to a British woman, and she got, like, a text message or a phone call, and she starts, like, hysterically crying and, like, freaking out, and I'm like, and she's like, oh my God, I've just fucking learned there was a... Okay, I'm just going to do my accent. She was like, there was a bombing in the tube, the London subway system, and a bombing on buses. And they think they're targeting planes. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, you would think that maybe, because, you know, 9/11 just happened 4 years ago. Less than 4 years ago. And we're on a plane from London to New York City, and I'm like, oh my God, they're gonna fucking do it again. I'm gonna be on the flight. I was, again, shaking. I just remember the Rooney song Shaking from the OC soundtrack. Anyways, I was shaking, crying. I was like, I'm going to fucking die. I can't like talk to my friends or like chaperones. My French class teacher is nowhere to be seen. Mrs. Beals is nowhere to be seen. I'm just alone. I'm going to go down these fucking random chicks that I don't even know with like a BlackBerry. I'm like, no, what do you mean? There's like, I'm like, can you tell me what's going on? There's like terrorists. Also, I'm like, I didn't know. I didn't read the news. I was just like gathering what this woman was telling me while she's like in absolute freak mode. And I think we were probably in the air for another hour or two, or I don't, it was just, it felt like forever. Cause then you start looking around and you're like, uh-oh, like who's going to take down this, and like, who's going to at the last minute take down this fucking plane and fly into the fuck a different building. It was truly so scary. And you know what? I never consider that as like a core wound or anything, but like that was so fucking scary. Can honestly, like, imagine this happened to like any of you like right now. You like take airplane mode off and it's like, oh, like the flight that you just, the city you just left from probably has terrorists on it. And they're going to fly your plane into a fucking landmark. Guys, I'm telling you. It was no joke. Oh my God. Okay. We're almost, I knew I was going to fucking go on about this for way too long. Okay. TV corner. I mean, I have a lot more to talk about at 9/11 actually. Okay. So it takes them like 10 years to find Osama bin Laden. Way too long. They almost had him. But I forget, there were too many ground forces and some other shit I don't remember. They let him go. They couldn't get a shot. I don't know what was going on. And then it took him like 7 more years to track him down again in Pakistan. They had this informant that was working with them. And all these CIA agents welcomed into one of these American bases somewhere. And he recorded a video where he was strapping himself with like a suicide vest and was like, you're all going to hell. And then he pulled up in his Uber XL and detonated the vest and killed like a bunch of like CIA agents, like top CIA agents and shit. I kind of don't know how they didn't see that coming. Not to be a bitch, I'm like, they were like trying to pat him down. He's like, no. And then he popped off, killed a bunch of people. So that set them back quite a while. So they got like the war room together when Obama was president, and Hillary Clinton was like, yes, they think they found this compound that Osama bin Laden was living in. Hillary was like, yes, go for it. I think we got him. Joe Biden was like, absolutely not. And Obama's like, yeah, we're absolutely going for it. In a place called Jalalabad. Fun name. Jalalabad. You should watch the movie Zero Dark Thirty, Jessica Chastain. So I watched it like a year ago. I really had no idea how they... Well, I thought they captured Osama bin Laden, but that was Saddam Hussein. Whatever. I just sometimes be forgetting shit. So they like they interview the guy that shot and killed Osama bin Laden, and they go into detail about how they like built these like stages and like rehearsed all different kinds of like plans, like plan A, B, C, D, like what could happen if like something happens here or there or there. And they just like for like 3 weeks they rehearsed over and over again like their plan of attack. It didn't seem like they really wanted to capture him alive. Or they just, like, really didn't care. Which I thought was kind of interesting. I'm like, you could have, like, shot him in the leg and then, like, arrested him? Like, I don't get that. Sound off in the comments if you understand the rationale behind that. I guess he could have had... I think they allude to, like, oh, he could have been dangerous. Like, he could have had, like, a suicide vest he was wearing. But I'm like, okay, but if you, like, shot him in the chest, like, wouldn't it blow up? Like, I don't... And they shot him a bunch of times. They shot his, like, whole family. And then, like, actually, when I first started the pod, this guy, his name's, like, Nimrod something? He's like, I'm friends with Osama bin Laden's like niece. She would like to go on the pod. And I'm like, I'm not going near anything like that, like ever. Wish her the best. He was trying to get her on like Red Scare too. And I'm like, guys, I don't think we should be doing this. Like, this is weird. We can't be having the bin Ladens. It does not. I mean, she didn't do anything wrong. But I don't want to be monitored for the rest of my fucking life, for the love of God. Anyway, so they two military helicopters fly from a base in whatever country is next to Pakistan. It takes them 90 minutes via helicopter. So it's like quite a distance because, like, you know, you can get to the Hamptons in like 30 minutes from Manhattan. And that's like a... It was a 3-hour drive, so they're in there. And once they cross into Pakistani airspace, they can be shot down. Once they leave, they can't. But I'm like, don't people be committing war crimes like all the time? Maybe not against America, because we have like an army that will absolutely decimate everyone. Anyways, they have two helicopters. The first one crashes inside the compound. And, like, that wasn't planned. So the other helicopter was supposed to land on the roof. It didn't. It landed in the street. And they had to, like, blow up some, like, you know, perimeter, not ceramic, concrete wall and get in. And then they carried out their mission. And they shot Osama bin Laden dead. Took his body. Flew it out to, like, a... Navy ship in the middle of the sea, wrapped it. They did some sort of, they respected his burial rites, because otherwise, you know, it'd be like a whole thing. So I think they wrapped him like a white shroud and just kind of dumped him over the edge. Burial at sea. Burial at sea. I like that term, because it's like you're not being buried, you're just like getting dumped. I guess like dumped at sea isn't like doesn't have the same ring to it. It's not quite as respectful or dignified. Buried at sea. You're not being buried. You're being dumped. You're tossed out. Thrown overboard. Okay, I think... Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to take a cigarette break. Because I'm furious. And I'm going to calm down. There's more TV topics, but like I will get to them. It's probably better next episode, so I can talk about couples therapy and then like Drag Race more fully, and the Pee Wee Herman documentary made by Matt Wolf, who I met at Lena Dunham's house. Didn't seem to be that interested in what I had to say about anything, but, you know, sometimes you catch people on an off night. And sometimes they're just like that all the time. I don't know, but I'm excited to watch the Pee Wee. I mean, I love Paul Reubens so much. He's changed my life. Okay, taking a break. Be right back. And we've got some questions. Thanks for sticking with me. Okay, we're back. Before we get into the questions, I have a voicemail update from Rose from Portland, Maine, from last episode. She did call and leave three voicemails. The two before this totaled 5 minutes, and I don't think I have the time. But the third voicemail was kind of tea, so I'm going to play that for you now. Here we go.
Hi, Dan. It's me, Rose, again. So sorry. just wanted to let you know, to add to the saga, I got a job. I'm not going to lie, hearing your advice and hearing it spoken back to me that I've been unemployed for a year and that that's a long time really lit a fire under my ass. So I am on my way to my first day of work as a landscaper. I'm really excited. I like moving my body. It's going to be fun. I'm working with some cool people. So, yeah, that's that. Also, I am part of a volunteer group helping immigrants in Maine get to their immigration appointments and translation and such. So, thanks for looking up. Thank you for the advice. It really helps me. Love you. Goodbye.
Love you too, Chica. See, this is why we fucking do it. This is why I do it. This is why I barely get out of bed every day to do this, to help people. Ultimately, I'm trying to help people. Landscaping, it sounds so fucking tight. Like, I'm not even playing around with you, Rose, or anyone listening. Landscaping sounds like a great job. I mean, I'm physically demanding, but like being physically tired from a job sounds a hell of a lot better than like wanting to kill your boss because they were rude to you on Slack all day, every day. You know what I mean? Landscaping, I could see myself doing it if I had to. I mean, in New York, I guess I could work for manscapers, but I'm not hot enough. Also, I don't really know what I'm doing. And I'm just out of shape. But like, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. Props to you, mama. I love this. I love that. I mean, all I had to do was just say, like, you should probably get a job. You know, they sleep, we grind. Some of us are just born to grind. You know what I mean? Okay, now it's time for the questions. Oh, Jesus Christ to the cross. Here we go. Question number one. What are your top five songs from the 90s? That's a good question. Leaves me a lot of room. Room to grow. Room to grow. I need that soundbite, actually. Hold on one second. Room to grow. I'm going to play the... Oh, it doesn't even like... Whoa. Room to grow. Real House of Atlanta. I don't know what seasons are. I would guess like, okay, so Nene Leakes is meeting a woman. Is that that's not Shamia. It's just short hair. Okay. This woman is very thin and tall. And basically Nene's like, oh, you should eat a sandwich. Haha. And this woman does not take it very kindly. And she's, she'll just hear it. She doesn't look 37. Room to grow. I've been saying room to grow too much in situations where it does not call for it and no one knows what I'm talking about. Room to grow. Okay. It's room to grow summer. Spring. Okay. Jesus Christ. Why am I talking about that? The top five songs. So I just instinctively rattled off. I typed down my top five songs. I didn't think much about it. I will expand in a second, but my top five that I wrote down, that like what I think of like my favorite songs from the 90s, I was born in 88. So, you know, I really started listening to music and like getting cassette tapes in 1993 when I was like five. That's when I got my first cassette. It was Ace of Base. Okay. So that is song number one is Ace of Base, The Sign. I love that entire album. It is so fucking good. Start to finish. Absolutely incredible. Swedish doobie known stuff about pop music. The next song is Robin S. Show Me Love. The third one is Black Box. Everybody, everybody. You know, it's like everybody, 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 everybody. Song number four is M People. moving on up. Because we're moving on up, we're moving on out. Time to break free, nothing can stop me. Okay. Number five is Mariah Carey, Always Be My Baby. I remember watching that music video over and over again, that scene at night on a river, and she's on like a tire swing, there's like a spotlight, and she's swinging over the river, and that song is just, even though the video is fucking astonishing, so good. I did leave out rock and roll music completely. Hey, whatever. But I did make a quick little, just like I jotted down like bands that I liked from the 90s. Not specific songs, just bands I was gravitating towards, I would listen to when I was like a fucking child. When I was like 8. In the 90s, I was two to 12. So that was very, I was always very perceptive. We had No Doubt, Garbage, The Cranberries, Alanis Morissette, Hole, Hootie and the Blowfish, Counting Crows, Dave Matthews, Smashing Pumpkins, Soundgarden, Third Eye Blind, etc., etc. That was basically my shit in the 90s. Some of you kind of missed the 90s. Some of you are like 23 and you're like fully like over a decade younger than me. So you probably missed the 90s. You didn't live through the 90s. You didn't live through this. You might even get that reference. Just check those out. Check out Hootie and the Blowfish. Hootie and the Blowfish was my first concert when I was 5 years old at Saratoga Performing Arts Center. My cousin lived in Albany and we went there. And there were people smoking weed in front of me. And I was like, Mom, what's that? And she's like, I don't know. Like, I actually don't think she knew. I don't think she knew. Well, anyways, next question. This is a bit of a callback and more of a demand than a question, but I'm still okay with it. I'm still waiting on Pocono's recommendations. Okay, bitch. The Poconos fucking suck. They fucking suck. There is one bar I went to. My friend owns a little cottage in Hawley. It's Hawley.
Bacch.
There's a bar in town, a dive bar. You know, you think you've been to a dive bar and then you go to this bar. I don't know the name. You can look it up. Look up bar in Hawley. There's probably two. And this is the one that's going to look more like a dive bar. They do have really good cheeseburgers for very cheap. They like cook them on this weird, like it looks like a toaster oven, but it kind of is more industrial. Anyways, the vibe is like sedentary veterans pissing themselves. Like, I literally was sitting next to a guy who had just pissed his pants, and I'm like, okay. Broad daylight. I could tell the staff wasn't too kind. Or they didn't like me. I was kind to them. I'm not a huge bitch. I'm not like, oh my God, get me out of here. I'm like, I'm cool to hang out anywhere, but I'm like a urban parasite to some people, and I understand that. I think I made the mistake of like trying to get a glass of wine. You know what I mean? But they have wine. Like, I'm sorry. Maybe go for the beer and shot. Maybe go for the beer and shot. Next question. What is your favorite go-to toothpaste and why? All right. See, here's the thing. I use Tom's and I've been buying Sensodyne. My tea is deodorant, body wash, toothpaste. I try something new every time. I am not, and this might shock you, I'm not like a brand loyalist for like products such as that. I mean, the deli next door sells Irish Spring bar soap. So in a pinch, I'm out of body wash or like a soap I like. I'll get Irish Spring, and I'm like, this is kind of fun. I actually love the way Irish Spring smells. It's clean and fresh. Toothpaste, I think I might be like a Sensodyne girl. It kind of just, the texture's right. I don't have like sensitive teeth, even though I've been to the dentist like once in the last like 20 years. Okay, like 17 years. Like actually though. Like actually. I had one cavity they couldn't even detect. They'd like take an x-ray and be like, there might be a cavity underneath your gums. I'm like, okay. They're like, how do you not have more cavities? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe because like getting your teeth cleaned makes room for cavities. I don't know. I think I've cracked the code. Go to the dentist, but like also maybe don't. Next question. Do you have any interest in plays? If so, what are your favorites? I would like to see Oh Mary. Although Cole Skull has been like kind of scaring me lately. Like, I'm sorry, like been scaring me. His demeanor, I don't know. Something is, I don't know. I'm not trying to be a bitch. A lot of respect for Cole. I've heard, I mean, people think it's so funny and I love to laugh. So I'm going to see it eventually. But I don't, what else? I don't want to see anything else. I don't even know what else there is. Kinky Boots? Make it a movie so I won't watch that either. Are you team Brittany or Nia over the recent fight on the Valley? I was so team Nia. And then I'm like, wait, the whole homeless speech where she's like, I was living in a car with my mom. And then my mom left. And then I was living in my car. And we would camp in backyard. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. On the after show, virtually every single castmate was like, she rehearsed that. Like, we all know she rehearsed that. I'm like, hold on a minute. But it did get me. It totally got me. I'm like, Nia's so brave. I mean, she is. I'm worried for her. She does. Nia seems like the type. She's at her brink. She's on the bram. She's going to fill up the family in a minivan and drive it right into a lake. Brittany was agitated. Seemed like she'd been doing some of Jack's leftover cocaine. She was peaking. I get why, like, Jasmine, is that even her name? Jasmine has, like, leftover frustration from, like, Danny groping her and her girlfriend, which is, like, very fucked up. Shit does happen when you party, though. I feel like these people all party a lot. I mean, Zach's getting kicked out of Jax's. You know how hard is it get? Can you imagine how hard is it get kicked out of Jax's Studio City? Zach did it. And we don't talk about it. I'm on like both of their sides. And neither. Not to be. Okay, I have to pick a side. I'm more. I get what Brittany's saying. I get what Nia's saying. They're just different people. Their issues. Danny and Nia are dark to me, but also kind of bright. They're pretty average. At least Danny is nice to Nia. Jax is horrible. When they did flashbacks to season one of The Valley, and Jax is like, the reason why your stomach is upset is because you're drinking. Yeah, drinking. Told you. And, like, she wasn't drinking. She's like, oh, my God, I think I'm going to die. And he's like, oh, I bet he, like, went around to everyone. He's like, how much has Brittany been drinking today? They're like, zero. He's like, I don't believe that. And also, like, I kind of didn't either. But I'm like, maybe she wasn't. Anyways, he doesn't have her back. It's pathetic and embarrassing. I think at least Danny and Nia ride for each other. It might be dysfunctional and warped, but, like, if you had four kids, you would just kind of do whatever you could do to keep it together. I'm going to go Team Nia on this one. I'm Team Nia. Even though she's a emotional terrorist, quite frankly. If Carl from Summer House is as gay as you say, then why does he stay in the closet? I don't know. You'd have to ask him. Ask Pedro Pascal. It's financially beneficial to stay in the closet. Although he should realize that, like, the coming out arc on Bravo would be an absolute cash cow. You know, Jess Rothschild really convinced me he's gay. I kind of do. I see it. But he could just be tortured and, like, have issues with his own sexuality that might not be homosexual, although it does seem like he's gay. His relationship with women has always been, like, kind of like, oh, wait, why don't you... there's too many layers to basic kind of interactions, and I think Lindsay Hubbard actually finally caught on, because I was, like, watching her on Watch What Happens Live with Kyle, and, like, there was a question that, like, it was pertaining to Carl hitting on Sierra and being like, hey, so just so you know, I have, like, a crush on you. And Lindsay was just like, oh my God, like, that was so fake. So fake. But she didn't say, like, scripted. She was like, my intuition told me that, like, she knew that that was, like, Carl calling the shots and trying to play up to the cameras that he's, like, still interested in women and, like, trying to be on this show. And she thought it was very calculated and inauthentic. And I watched that and was like, this is very strange. This is very strange. And it's something a closeted gay guy would do, is, like, find the hottest girl by far and be like, I have a crush on you. Like, don't you think so? Don't you think so? Anyways, next up. Are we up to date on Top Chef? What do we think of the new host, Kristen? I am randomly watching Top Chef. I don't talk to it. I don't talk about it to anyone, and I don't mention it on the pod because it's boring. Top Chef is so fucking boring. The episodes are way too long. My issue is that, like, the food, like, what are you going to talk about? They're heating up food. They're heating up ingredients. They're cutting up ingredients. They're making food. They're not memorable like a Project Runway garment. It's not like an Austin Scarlett creation that will just live forever. People are going to eat it and then literally shit it out. So it's like, does it need to be an hour and a half long? I don't think so. However, I do be watching it. Kristen is the host. You know, I think she started off, this is her second season, I believe, right? Second season. I think she's just now is like towards the end of her second season is just really getting her sea legs. I think she's doing okay. I think it's good that she's so beautiful, tall, striking, and a lesbian. We love that. She has some style. Pizzazz. She's got some pizzazz. and she's been on the show. She's like a legacy. It makes sense. And I'm fine with Kristen as the host. I think she'll get better with time. This season, you know, it's Canadian. They try to bring in, like, these Canadian celebrities, and it's like, whoa, like, whoa. Yikes. Like, who, they brought in a comedian called, like, Punky something, Punky Brown. I'm like, who are these people? It's strange. Also there's not that many hot guys this season. Mossimo, kind of. But he's so annoying. He's just shut the fuck up. He's like trying to kiss everyone's ass all the time and talk over everyone. It's just annoying. It's just annoying. But, you know, we're in close to the end. Also, the thing with Top Chef compared to like Project Runway, it's like you can't tell who's like really doing that well in the competition. It's like someone will win. It's so very, you're in one season, the next you're out. But like with food, it's so like we're not tasting it as the audience, so we're not really able to judge. And then so like somebody you think's doing very well will just be like booted. And of course they have like the Last Chance Kitchen, which I would never watch. I've already given too much of my life to this, you know, godforsaken show. But I'll still watch. We're getting down the wire. Thank God. Because there's other stuff. There's a lot on the plate. A lot of new things coming up. We got the new Bravo show about the children of like reality moms coming up. I'm New York City, that one. I got Lena Dunham's new show on Netflix coming up. Time for Top Chef to wind down. Anyways, thank you for your question. What is your favorite flightless bird? All right, I'm going to go with penguin because I can't name another flightless bird. Bitch, are you insane? You want to know flightless? Let me Google this, child. Flightless birds list. Oh, ostriches, dodo. Oh, I do be looking at the dodo bird. These names are fucking wild. Cassowaries, kiwi, kakapo, rheas, flightless cormorant, moa, takahi, chinstrap penguin, elephant bird, steamer duck. You know, dodo. Although, was the dodo real? No, I'm sure it was. I like dodo bird. Oh, the dodo bird. Penguins are very iconic. You know, March of the Penguins. They march. I appreciate birds that march to the beat of their own drum. Voiced by Morgan Freeman. I almost said Wallen. I'm like, that's kind of nuts. Also, the way people hate Morgan Wallen is psychotic. They should hate Young Thug more than Morgan Wallen. Not to incite a race war, but remember when Young Thug like pulled up next to his like pregnant girlfriend on the street when she was eating at a restaurant and like punched her in the face and his gun fell out of his pocket? Morgan Wallen's never done anything like that, but Young Thug is beloved. It's crazy. That's my tea. Pretty hard to disagree with, but again, I'm going to go with penguin. Thank you very much. This is from Carrie Cunningham. Did you ever have the Wendy's buffet in the 90s? So I Googled. Oh, let me Google again. I thought like maybe like, you know, my mom would get like salads. I vaguely remember that. I mean, I like Pizza Hut. I'm like, maybe I'm just remembering Pizza Hut, Wendy's, but Wendy's had a thing called Super Bar. I don't know if ours had this. I don't think it did, but I'm going to share with you what I've learned. I found the menu. It was $2.99. You could get either a pasta dish, a burrito, or a well-dressed salad. Pasta. You get spaghetti sauce, rotini, vegetables, fettuccine, three different sauces, Alfredo, even garlic, savory garlic toast. Burrito, refried it. Refried bean burritos, meat, shredded cheese, lettuce, folded over. This is like an instructional thing that was like on the on the buffet, so it's not like a menu thing. So I'm parsing it together with my own limited intellect. And then a well-dressed salad, of course. There's greens, crunchy. You know, there's also butterscotch puddings and fresh fruits. You know, you've heard of a salad. They had that. I was today years old when I heard about this. Thank you, Kara, for sharing this with me. I was like, holy fucking shit. And then the pics are nuts. Pics are nuts. But no, I don't think I ever went. Because I was too young and I'm like, I want a cheeseburger. Like, I'm still very much that way. Although I did think, this popped in my head. I'm like, what if I started only getting salads? I think I've said this before. This is so fucking pathetic. What if I only got salads from McDonald's? But then here's the thing. I've never considered this before. What if I let myself get a small order of fries too with the salad? Because the salads at McDonald's really are not bad. They're not bad at all. In fact, they're quite good. The dressing will get you. The dressing will absolutely get you. But you need to use the whole thing. Too much dressing. So maybe half the dressing, order of fries. You know, maybe I'll lose another 30 pounds. Okay, we have one more question, and this one is harrowing. If you were marketing your podcast, how would you describe it in a couple of lines? I have not thought about this at all. Oh my God, wait. I hope my story's still up. Someone left a comment on the Patreon that was, it really touched my heart. Shit, it's not up anymore. Oh wait, Anna reposted it. That's so, I mean, you probably love that. Okay, hold on. Okay, hold on, stay with me. Okay. So this is from user X on Patreon. This was about my appearance on Red Scare. And I talked about the direwolf appearing through the traversal wormhole on Skinwalker Ranch. They were somewhat receptive. Not quite locked in, but that's okay. You got to like start small. I get it's a little, again, it's a little out there. This person said, the lady's reaction to your laying out the direwolf stuff truly made me laugh out loud, but also highlights the beauty of the Dial Dan solo podcast format, in which the listener is essentially forced into a neurodivergent 30-something homosexual brain simulator with no one to save you. Love you, Dan. Love you too, bitch. That was, I was like, wait, that is what's going on. I'm like brainwashing you. You can't get out. There's no one to save you here. Not my intent, but I do now see things differently. And it's like, that's, I'm trying to convince you guys of something. What am I trying? The war on terror is good. Dinosaur fake. Pocono's bad. Carl is gay. And Alexander Skarsgård's gay too. Okay, wow. Oh my God. For once, I wasn't really looking at the time. We've done an hour and 27. Most people would maybe edit the pod. I'm not going to. I'm just going to say thank you so much for tuning in. What a night. Have a good weekend. Happy Memorial Day. Hope you have a nice weekend. You know, with your friends, perhaps family. Just live it up. You know, you deserve a day off. So, thank you again. Also, if you're on the free feed and you made it this far, it's a good sign you're gonna wanna subscribe. Also, I raised the price to $6. Ooh. Don't worry, if you're paying $5 now, you'll pay $5 forever. I did have the option to change that, but I would never, ever do that to you guys. But inflation, things are, it's $6 now. I do enough. I feel like I do enough for $6. In the last 5 years, I think prices have like doubled for everything. And I think me increasing prices by 20% is okay. For the new members. So, look, don't unsubscribe because you're going to be paying $6 when you change your mind. You're in it now. You're in the homosexual brain simulator. I love that. That's really funny. It's really funny. $10 tier is still $10. That'll stay at $10. Also, maybe I'm hoping that, like, maybe I should have done $6.50. No, that's too much. Also, I'm hoping, like, people being like, well, what's the difference between, like, 6 and 10? That is doing 10. Do 10. Anyways, I'm going to do a live stream soon. Maybe, like, Tuesday. I will let you know. I will absolutely email in advance so you have the live stream date and time well in advance. Because I want everyone to enjoy it live. I think it's still good when it's recorded and posted, but it's different. A little different. It's a little different live. That will be for $10 tier only. Absolutely only.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Okay. Love you guys so much. Again, happy Mem Day. Make some memes. Oh my God. And, what is Memorial Day? What is Memorial Day celebrating? Who served and died in the U.S. military? Okay, so it's not the same as Veterans Day. Well, there's a really funny moment in the movie Friendship, which I think I forgot to say that I love the movie Friendship. Connor O'Malley is playing a, I don't think he is an actual Afghanistan war veteran, but he sort of appears to be one. He's like, you kind of hear him off camera being like, we need to go back to Afghanistan. It's funny. Guys, the movie's good. Check out Friendship. Again, thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye. Thank you. Bye.